Welcome back to the student section where we're riding like sunset on the color TV screen.
Oh man.
Man, I wasn't sure like what the timing of when the show come back on.
It's okay. We know you did it on purpose, Billy.
Yeah, you're just practicing for your choir meeting.
For our harmonizing.
Harmonizing.
He's auditioning for American Idol.
What are you talking about? He already won.
Oh, right.
Question is not, you know, whether I will win American Idol or not. It's where do I put my trophy? That's how I view these things.
Right next to your Hall of Fame plaque.
And my gold medal. Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, let's get back to talking. You know, we've got two more segments, and I want to get to them. You know, I just want to get to them because I know that our last segment in particular is ones I'm jonesing to talk about. But let's get our fifth segment out of the way first. And a couple stories have surfaced in the past couple days about just bad fans. And, you know, if you're a sports fan, you know what I'm talking about. Or if you're an Alabama sports fan, you know what I'm talking about. The Marcus Smart incident, for instance, about a fan saying something. Granted, we can argue about the morality, or, you know, we could argue about Marcus Smart's conduct in it. But the fact of the matter is, a fan crossed the line. And then I want to tie this to an Alabama. I mentioned Alabama. The Alabama angle is Rashawn Evans. You know, we go back to signing day when Rashawn Evans committed to Alabama, despite kind of looking like, you know, he lives in Auburn, he went to school in Auburn, but he commits to Alabama. And you can tie this to, yeah, I guess Cade Foster is a good example too. Cade Foster is a guy who understands just how bad Alabama and Auburn fans can be. Oh, you know, yeah. Cade Foster got a lot of death threats when he missed kicks all through his career, and a lot of it's unfair. And so I guess just to kind of, you know, there's no numbers or figures I have for this or no examples, but I just kind of wanted to ask you guys, is there a certain conduct that a fan needs to have? All these instances to me stick out as instances where a fan crosses a line. And I just want to ask you guys, am I wrong in thinking that these guys are crossing a line? Do I not understand what a real fan is?
I personally, you know, I think they're crossing a line. You look at the Sugar Bowl and that woman who went absolutely insane defending her son and, you know, just getting so physically violent. It's like, this is a game. You know, I'm a huge sports fan. We're all huge sports fans here. But when it boils down to it, at the end of the day, it's a game. And when people take it to that level of getting violent and getting so intense, you know, making death threats to a kid who's just trying to make his college career, I just think it can get a little bit intense. And not that you don't want to have a level of intensity with sports, because that's what makes it so exciting. But I really just think that people, you know, they take it to a whole nother level from that respect.
Okay, I think each one's kind of a different basis, because Marcus Smart, you know, these athletes have to deal with so much stuff already from fans. Shang, I wonder like what the fans said, because it's still kind of conflicted reports. But Marcus Smart is a guy who beat up a chair at another game, so I mean, wasn't that surprising, I guess, compared to some of the frustrations he had earlier this season. Everything's going on, but each one's kind of different. I mean, the new thing we have with athletes is social media. If you want to talk to one of these athletes or send them a message, you can do that really easily, and that's why you have the Cade Foster death threats. And fans really shouldn't try to affect the game itself, which is why, you know, some of the stuff like Jeff Ward, Marcus Smart thing, it's just ridiculous. You shouldn't try to get involved anyways or mess with these players. And the Evans thing, I mean, that's just what fan bases do. It's horrible. They shouldn't do that. But that's kind of what you almost expect nowadays if you don't get a top recruit. And I like to think that Tuscaloosa, with the fact we keep getting all these 5-stars and 4-stars, we lose a guy from a hometown, we won't care as much. But I don't really know.
Another thing to look at is, if he had signed with Auburn, you would have had some Alabama fans being mad. You know, you're gonna upset someone no matter what you do.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Billy. The player angle doesn't really interest me as much, because you're right. A player shouldn't, you know, a player needs to be the better man. You know, the player is what represents his university, not the fan.
There are like certain things, like you shouldn't go into the stands regardless. And even though some people say horrible things, you still shouldn't go into the stands. That's kind of a fair boundary of what you can and can't do in sports.
You have to let it roll off your shoulders.
Well, and I guess one of the reasons I brought up two Alabama stories in particular is, you know, an Alabama fan made a lot of bad headlines a couple of years ago with the whole Harvey Updike incident, too. You know, am I wrong? I just think that maybe I'm not a good fan. I just don't understand how any of this is plausible. But you're right that social media gives a lot of these people platforms that they have no business having.
In all things you have, though, you're going to have fanatical fans. You're going to have outliers. And that's just what happens. And because you have a really passionate fan base like Alabama, it's not as surprising. And really, the Cade Foster thing's a shame, because it's a combination of, one, you know, the guy's not performing up expectations, but death threats are beyond extreme.
Another thing, you know, you're talking about these people, they have all this stuff coming at them. It's sort of like, I don't know if you've ever seen, but when people are shooting a basketball and they have the air horn going to try and, you know, replicate a game-like situation, it's like all these fans and all the stuff they're throwing at them is the air horn, and they need to still be able to make the shot. They need to still be able to focus on their sport, and they got to tune out that air horn that's in the background because it's always going to be there no matter what they do.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a difference. I mean, I just mean, like, fans in their interactions with particular players,
no,
I guess.
Fans should avoid that, but it's going to happen regardless.
Right. Yeah. There's going to be but before we move on to our last segment, we'll be kind of cutting this one a little bit short. There's another topic that's football-related, maybe not college football-related like these last one. These were, but a quick topic that I want to touch on is it's Seattle Seahawks related.
Boo, Seahawks,
yeah, it's boo,
boo
Seahawks, but either way, there's a question we can ask about this. Michael Bennett and Golden Tate, two players on the Super Bowl Seahawks team, but they're impending free agents, both of them, and they kind of have conflicting views about re-signing with their team. Michael Bennett has said, "Absolutely, I will not take a discount to come play for the Super Bowl, you know, reigning Super Bowl champions," whereas Golden Tate will. And so I guess you can kind of guess where we're going from there. So I ask you guys, which would you rather do? Would you take a pay cut to play with the team?
Personally, I, not to sound really greedy, but I think that if my team won the Super Bowl and I had helped them in that sense, I don't think I should be taking a pay cut for having a really successful season. In fact, the most successful season you can have. So not that I'd, you know, try and be like mean about it and say, oh, you need to pay me or sorry, but I think that they deserve to be, you know, if not paid more, at least paid the same. They shouldn't be taking a pay cut after, you know, accomplishing a feat like that.
See, I don't really like the way this comparison is going because you have Golden Tate, who's a guy who hasn't been that productive.
That is fair.
I was expecting you to call me out on that.
That productive, you know, in NFL. He's been pretty good, but he's on a rookie contract, so he hasn't even paid that much to begin with. So what's a pay cut for him? Michael Bennett's a guy who should have gone $7-8 million a year, $9 million, but he was passed over in free agency this year a little bit, so he signed a 1-year $4.8 million deal. So if I'm Bennett, I want to get paid like I should have been the year before. I'm not going to take less money when I'm already taking less money than I should have gotten.
Yeah, I'm not at all surprised that you brought that up, because the difference between these two players is that Golden Tate is a guy who's not going to command a big deal on the market.
Either way, Golden Tate's getting more money than he had previously on his last contract.
And that's fair, but...
And they're getting so much money to begin with when compared to all these, you know, other professions in the world, so...
But like I said, the big comparison is just, I mean... And this kind of ties back to our Hall of Fame discussion, you know. You want to win a championship, and just how much does winning a championship mean to you? And if for some players, they like Michael Bennett, he has a championship. He doesn't need much more.
If you're like a 38-year-old quarterback, then yeah, take the pay cut. You know, if you want to win a Super Bowl. But in this situation, I'd take the money.
Yeah, a short segment this time, but we've got a pretty meaty segment to end the show on. We're going to talk some NFL draft. Nothing excites me more than NFL draft. Football!
Oh, man.
Football! Exactly. You're listening
just
to the
when
student
you think
section.
It's over.
You're listening to the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone.